Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So this is the last one, and I promise you, this is the last one on chasing after God. And finally, as the last one, it's no more stale bread. So let me just see if I can get to the side. Look how fast I'm preaching today. There you go. As I was preparing this message, again, I've been in a struggling mood this week. I found myself struggling because I realised I was trying to put a positive spin on what is going to be a difficult message for you. It has been for me. And I wanted to try and lighten it. I wanted to put a little bit of joke into it. I wanted to make you like me. But in the end, I realised that I'd better have the Holy Spirit liking me. So it is what it is. And as I saw on a movie once, suck it up, princess, okay? This is the end of a series in chasing after God. And I think this message, believe it or not, sums up the importance of why we should be all chasing after God. In fact, it was this message, or just two phrases of this message, fresh bread, fresh bread, fresh bread, that I got over December when I was praying about this year and what God would have us do. And so the series really started out of fresh bread, but it's ending with no more stale bread. I think it's not only important because it's good for our own spiritual beings, but I think that if we would do what God has been telling us to do, it would be good for our community, it would be good for our city, it'd be good for our state, and without trying to put too much spin on it, who knows, it might even impact our country. People are hungry. People are looking for fresh bread. But unfortunately, much of the church's bread is stale, it's old, or it's mouldy. In short, there's a famine in the spiritual realm for fresh bread. Let me use this passage out of Ruth this morning to be the text from what we bounce off as I run through what I want to do. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of that man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, the name of his two sons were Mahalam and Chilion. If you can get those right, then that's it. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she went and left her two sons. Now they took wives of the women. Of Moab, and the names of one was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and so the women survived her two sons, and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out of that place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to the return to the land of Judah. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-laws Ruth and the young Moabite woman. And they arrived in Bethlehem in late spring at the beginning of the barley harvest. So I said, I want to use this passage this morning to paint a picture of how I think the world sees the church. And I'm not talking about LMC, I'm talking about the church across the world. And why I think so many now think the church is irrelevant and now have left the church. The reason that Naomi and the family travelled to Moab was because there was a famine in Bethlehem. Naomi and her family have something in common with the people today who leave church or who avoid our churches. Bethlehem means the house of bread. And so we could quite easily say because they left because there was a famine or a lack of bread in the house of bread. Because of the famine, Naomi and her family had to go somewhere else to find sustenance. Because the church hasn't or can't meet the hunger, People are trying other things to fill their needs. They're flocking to bars, to clubs, to psychics. They're going in the truckloads elsewhere. You know, you only have to drive into the city and see how many people are in the city. If Chris and I have a weekend off and we're out away from church, we are surprised at how many people are not in church. But then I suppose it's not uncommon to see that people are now not going to church. We talk often about what God has done in the past. And again, we need to give testimony of what God does and has done. But are we talking about what God is doing in the church? Now, I could talk at length about the things that I see God doing because I'm in it every day. But I wonder how many right now in this congregation could stand up and testify of the miracles and the things that they're seeing God is doing. Now, I'm not being negative, I'm just stating a fact. I think people have sometimes come to the house of bread only to find that there's too much man and too little God in the house of bread now. I think others have come and found the environment not much different than the clubs or the bars that they have come out of. In fact, some might even say there's probably more spirit in the places that they've gone to than in the church. In short, if the hungry can't find bread in the house of bread, then who can blame them for looking elsewhere to try and satisfy their needs? And that is why in our text we find Naomi and her family traveling to Moab to look for food. But unfortunately, as Naomi was to discover, Moab is a cruel place. See, Moab is a type of the world. And as you read that passage, you find that Moab stole her husband and her sons from her. In this room today, I'm sure that we could again share many sad stories that could be told of how cruel the world is. How many sons and daughters, how many family members, how many friends have gone looking elsewhere to satisfy their needs. Now, it's not always going to be the church's fault, we know that. But often it's because they have a need and it's not being met that the enemy can get his hooks in. They get caught into the world and then all of a sudden they're in that spiral. If you go back to the days of Joseph, it was no different. The land was in famine. And so Israel, instead of looking to their God, went to Egypt, again a type of the world, because they heard that there was food in Egypt. And if you follow that story right through, you find that by doing so, not only did they leave the promised land flowing with milk and honey that God had given them, their inheritance, but they walked into bondage for over 200 years. One of our texts is, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you." When we put our focus elsewhere, when we start to allow ourselves to be distracted and drawn away, then it can only end in disaster. And for me, I don't want to see a generation or generations lost in bondage because we as a church have stopped baking fresh bread, or that we are serving up bread of yesteryear, or we've just got a few crumbs in the ground that we're scavenging for. If this sermon series that we've been doing is going to have fruit, then it has to be about baking fresh bread. It has to be about seeking God for fresh testimonies of what he's doing, i.e. the balloons. You know, we should be praying that there would be souls every week, that there'd be baptisms every week, that there'd be healings every week, that people come here not waiting for it to be driven from the platform, but it's just oozing out of us. as we've seen already in the series, it's time to prepare ourselves to get a right focus. It's time to take self off the throne. It's time to imitate and to inquire of God. It's time to really contemplate on how are we going to handle and how are we handling the presence of God. If God showed up, who would get the glory? Will we start to talk about how great we are? Will we start to write some books on it? Will we write a few songs? Will it become a product, launch of something? Are we seeking and seeing God's face? Are we looking to encounter God's favor and blessing? Are we carrying a divine radiation zone wherever we go? Are we releasing the power of the Holy Spirit that is already within us? And are we allowing ourselves to be led by His Spirit? You see, Jesus is the bread of life. In John 6, 30 to 35, they answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness," the scripture says. "Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, my Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Sir, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." So in short, the bread of life, Jesus came to the house of bread, Bethlehem, about 2,020 years ago. Ever bothered to read one of those labels on fresh bread baked at Safeway or Woolworths or whatever they call themselves now? More likely, you'll discover that it's been vitamized, fortified, and probably pulverized. It's not the simple thing that it once was. As with many things, when man or flesh get in the way, we complicate things. We, in our wisdom, have tried to improve church. We've tried to modernize it. We've tried to make it more relevant. You only have to look around Melbourne right now to see how many flavours and brands there are. There's churches in pubs because people won't go to church anymore, so we'll have it in a pub. There's people that do it on rooftops. There's people that do it everywhere. There's churches for only young people. There's churches for old people. There's churches for families. Everyone's trying to make church better. Modernize it. Tailor-make it to suit the need of people. What about tailor-making church to suit the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit? The bread of life cannot be improved. The bread of life is unique. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, am I doing that? Are you doing that? It says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent." So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, church, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose those things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. He chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring nothing what the world consider important. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. Jesus died to bring forth life. Everything that God does is different. And God just wants us to be his vessels to flow through, to impact the world around us. You know, we've talked about it already in past messages. A group of disciples who betrayed him, who denied him, who weren't even there at his crucifixion, were then charged with the Great Commission. And you think of the billions that are saved now because of those 12. It wasn't them. It was the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent into them that has done this work. And we have that same Spirit to do the work that God has called us to do. We can make physical bread from wheat, from rye, from rice, from barley, from corn, even from potatoes. But the bread for the soul can only come from one source. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." The bread of life never becomes stale, and wherever there is fresh bread, I guarantee you there will be hungry people. If I had a fresh loaf of Chris's fresh bread out of the oven this morning, and I started to cut it up and I started to tell you how beautiful it tasted with butter just oozing through it and Vegemite on it, and you started to smell that fresh bread, I guarantee you I'd have a line of people right now wanting to have a taste. It's good bread, isn't it, Matt? You better say yes, that's your mother-in-law. You know, there's nothing like fresh bread. I know, because for those of you that go straight from here down to Baker's Delight, hands up, be honest. No, don't. You're there because you want fresh bread. Back in our text, it says that Naomi heard a rumor that there was bread back in the house of bread. And no, it wasn't fake news. Thank you, Mr. Trump. Naomi and Ruth rushed back to the house of bread, to Bethlehem. I know that two things will happen when there's fresh bread, or the fresh bread of God's presence restored into his house. Naomi was a prodigal who left the house of bread when the table became empty. Yet once she heard that God had restored bread to Bethlehem, the house of bread, she quickly returned. I know that prodigals will come back to Bethlehem. I know they will leave the world because they're hungry and they're not getting satisfied and they know it. But you know what happens when prodigals come back? They bring people with them, the people that they have been hanging out with. Because those people also are looking for truth and haven't found it in the world. God is not a God of crumbs, and he's not a God of lack. God wants to dispense unending loaves of his life-giving presence. In fact, David in Psalm 37, 25 says this, "Once I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandon their children begging for bread." The answer for the church, I think, and for us, I think, is you get hungry for fresh bread. Matthew 6, verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Matthew 7, 9 says, "What man is there of you who, if his son asks for bread, will be given a stone?" This morning, can I challenge you? Let's chase after God with vigor, with enthusiasm, with passion, with desire, with hunger. And let's see fresh bread being baked in the house of bread again. I'm not just talking to young people. I'm not talking to old people. I'm talking to every person. Unfortunately, sometimes I listen to old people and they say, "We've done that. Now it's the young people's turn." No, it's not. It's all of our turns. Ken Barrett got up right now and started to tell you about the people he ministers to in the nursing homes, how many he leads to the Lord, how many are hungry to hear the word of God. You'd be surprised. People are hungry everywhere. It's up to us to use the bread of life, to give them the bread of life, to show them how they can satisfy their hunger. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would move by your Spirit this morning. And Lord, again, my apologies for rushing this, but you know your word. And Lord God, I pray that you would just sow your word now into each of our lives. That Lord God, even if only a couple catch it, Lord God, out of that couple, Father, I know that you can do miracles, and I know those miracles will enthuse others. So, Lord God, stir up your spirit within us. As your word says in Timothy, fan the flame, Lord God. Grab those bellows. And, Lord God, the coals that are still smoldering, I pray that you would fan right now. That, Lord God, we would come white hot for you. Father, that you would minister your life into our beings, even now in Jesus' name. Amen.